Late in 1959, Chuck Berry was arrested and charged with a violation of the Mann Act, transporting a minor across state lines for the purposes of engaging in immoral activities. In retrospect, it looks like he may have been set up, and certainly the trials involved had more than their share of racism. The first one was thrown out for just that reason. But the bottom line was that he didn't enter a recording studio between 1960 and 1964. Although only a year of that time was spent in jail, nobody wanted any association with Chuck Berry. The poet laureate of teenage America was finally released into a world much different than the one he'd left. Pop music was now dominated by the British, of all people, and both the Beatles and the Rolling Stones acknowledged their debt to him. The Stones guitarist, Keith Richards, wouldn't have had a career if it hadn't been for Berry's guitar style, in fact. It was a miracle. His songs had been in the public ear, even if he hadn't. On January 14, 1964, he ran into the studio and started recording.
As I got on a city bus and found a vacant seat, I thought I saw my future bride walking up the street. I shouted to the driver, "Hey, conductor, you must slow down. I think I see her. Please let me off the bus."
First came a story of pursuing a girl, pretty much a rewrite of Maybelline, the song that had made him famous, but with a strong new melody. Next, he considered the teenagers he'd written about in the past. Surely they'd grown up some, so he fantasized a continuation of their story.
It was a teenage wedding and the old folks wished him well. You could see that Pierre did truly love the mademoiselle. And now the young monsieur and madame have rung the chapel bell. C'est la vie, say the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell.
Sheer optimism, a refutation of the truism that teenage marriages don't work, and proof that this is a great country. And while he waited for the record company to get around to pressing and promoting his first post-jail releases, he recorded a song that was such a deep expression of love for America that it's inflamed passions all around the world.
We was 90 miles out of Atlanta by sundown, rolling out of Georgia State. We had more trouble than turned into a struggle halfway across Alabama. And that hound broke down and left us all stranded in downtown Birmingham.
Promised Land was a picture of Chuck Berry's America, where the South wasn't such a hot place to be if you were black, but people helped each other out, and California was the Promised Land. Some Promised Land, each of these records stiffed. Caught between Anglophilia and the moral fervor that had swept radio in the wake of the Paola hearings, this middle-aged ex-jailbird didn't have a chance. He continued to record great songs, No Particular Place to Go, Dear Dad, It Wasn't Me, but they didn't sell. In 1966, Chess Records, for whom he'd recorded from the beginning, let him go, and he signed with Mercury, where he re-recorded his old hits with a listless backing band. In 1967, he recorded live at the Fillmore Auditorium, backed by the Steve Miller Band, and that didn't even do him any good. Lucky thing he had some money coming in from the old songs, if not a whole lot, thanks to his contract. Chess re-signed him in 1969, and early the next year, a single came out. One side was Have Mercy, Judge, and the other, this bizarre tale.
Julian and Johnny opened a novelty shop. Back under the counter was the cream of the crop.
The same Johnny, Chuck Berry's alter ego who'd starred in Johnny Be Good and Bye Bye Johnny, selling pornography under the counter and getting caught like the guy in Have Mercy, Judge. Ironically, Chess made big money on Chuck Berry the second time around when he rewrote an obscure doo-wop record called Toy Bell and recorded it live as My Ding-a-Ling. It's sickening to his old fans, but it was the only number one record of his career. Great songwriters occasionally lose their way, but few have ever dissolved in bitterness and cynicism the way Chuck Berry has. While writing this piece, I thought of another great black musician who's in jail right now, James Brown. Let's hope he handles his post-prison career differently.